The reading this morning is from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 to 21. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting at verse 11. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made good your confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made good the confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honour and might for ever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way they will lay treasure up for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and in so doing have departed from the faith. Grace be with you all.
Do keep that passage open, and we'll pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth and its power. And we pray that today, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we will hear your voice speaking to us, leading us on to become more like Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. What does it mean to be a man of God or a woman of God? The Apostle Paul is training up young Timothy in how to lead the church in Ephesus. We've seen he is to oppose false teachers, he is to prioritize public prayer, he is to appoint godly elders and deacons, there is to be love and care for those in need in the church. Then in chapter 6, Paul returns to the issue of false teachers and false Christian behavior. In contrast to all this, Timothy is to be a man of God. What does this mean? Well, four things to say on your sheets. The man of God flees sin. The man of God pursues righteousness. The man of God fights the good fight. And the man of God commands faith in God. Firstly, then, the man of God flees sin. Verse 11. Paul uses strenuous verbs here. Flee, pursue, fight. What is the man of God to flee? Well, verse 11, all this. All the preceding errors. He's to flee controversies and quarrels, envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, friction between people, the pursuit of financial gain. He is to flee discontentment. He's to flee the desire to get rich, the love of money. The image is that these things are chasing after Timothy. He must run away from them. But you, man of God, flee from all this. In the Middle Ages, if you were a fugitive, you could run to England's great cathedrals and find sanctuary there. In the same way, we are to run away from sin and into the sanctuary of Christ. So have you got your spiritual running shoes on? Very important. Secondly, The man of God pursues righteousness. Verse 11, and pursue righteousness. Righteousness means the standard of holiness we see in God. He is the standard of what is right and holy. Timothy is to make it his goal to be as righteous as Christ. Therefore, he is to pursue godliness. He's to be like God. He's to pursue faith. Faith has to be nurtured and fed. So much in our society conspires against faith. So much says to us, there is no God. Or, God can be ignored. By contrast, Timothy is to be a man of faith and of love. Faith, hope, and love always go together for Paul. As Timothy pursues righteousness, he will grow in godliness, faith, love. Love for God. Love for other Christians. Love for the lost. He will also grow in endurance. Basically, the longer you go on in the Christian life, the more of a battle it becomes. Satan works harder against you as he sees you making progress. So the longer you go on as a Christian, the more you have to develop endurance to cope with all the world, the flesh, and the devil throw at you. And at the same time as getting really tough in your endurance, God expects us to grow in gentleness. That's the final consequence of pursuing righteousness. Thirdly, the man of God fights the good fight, verse 12. Fight the good fight of the faith. So, the man of God has to be really gentle with people and a really tough fighter. Now, there's no cause for physical violence in this. The weapons we fight with are the sword of the Spirit, the Bible. Teaching the Bible. And we fight with prayer. We pray God's will into being. But it is a fight. It's a 24/7 battle against Satan, who wants to make us give up. How is Timothy to fight this fight? Verse 12b. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So Timothy has been called by God to eternal life, but he has to take hold of it. He has to appropriate it. He has to make it his own. He's clearly done this. He's publicly confessed his faith, probably in baptism. He has eternal life, but he has to take hold of it again. He has to say to himself, I'm living for eternal life. This eternal life is mine in Christ. I'm not just living for this world. He has to do this because everything in his culture will say to him, just live for now. Live for pleasure now. Live for what you can enjoy now. And Paul says, fight the good fight. Live for eternal life. Live for heaven. Live for the new creation. He's to remember who is watching him, verse 13, in the sight of God, in the sight of God, who gives life to everything. Timothy is living his life and conducting his ministry in the sight of God, who gives life to everything. God is the boss because God is the creator. He gives life to everything. And Timothy is ministering in the sight of God, in the sight of Christ Jesus. Christians in sport talk about playing for an audience of one. We minister in the sight of Jesus. This should make us ask, am I loving him? Am I pleasing him? Him who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. Jesus remained faithful before Pilate. Timothy must fight the good fight to remain faithful in his generation. I charge you, Timothy, verse 14, to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is going to be a fight. This is going to be a battle to keep going, to be obedient, to be holy, right to the very end, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I mentioned earlier, one older saint said to me, "You know, Chris, it doesn't get easier to be holy as you get older. It gets more difficult. To keep going until the return of Jesus, or until God calls us home, is no small thing. But, verse 15, the return of Jesus gives us hope to keep battling. The appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about, he will bring it about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords." This is the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. God is the only ruler. He is the king. This means God's will is done. We don't believe in dualism. There's not a battle going on between God and Satan which either could win. No, God is sovereign. God is in control. Satan operates on a lead. God allows him some room to work, but ultimately, it's God's will which is done. He alone is immortal, verse 16. Satan is not immortal. God alone lives in unapproachable light. So fight on, Timothy. You're on the winning side. You're on the side of him whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen. Only God will be honored forever. God's enemies will be in the second death. And then fourthly, we see that the man of God commands faith in God. On May the 7th, 1915, the RMS Lusitania, a British ocean liner, was struck by a torpedo from a German submarine. The ship sank in a matter of minutes, killing 2/3 of the passengers aboard, some 1,200 people. One passenger, a bookseller called Charles Laureate, observed the following. The passengers didn't obey the safety instructions. As the ship was sinking, Laureate noticed that among the crowds pouring on the deck, nearly everyone was wearing a life jacket incorrectly. In his panic, one man had thrust one arm through an armhole and his head through the other. Others rushed past wearing them upside down. Few obeyed the instructions telling people how to put them on. Laureate tried to help, but some thought he was trying to take their life jackets from them and fled in terror. One writer has written, "Dead and drowning people were dotting the sea like seagulls. Many bodies were floating upside down because people had put their life jackets on the wrong way up, so that their heads were pushed under the water. People drowned because they didn't obey the safety instructions. The commands of the Bible are even more important. They are of eternal consequence. One of the difficulties about being a minister is that you have to be incredibly nice and very authoritative. Paul doesn't say, make suggestions. He says, command. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. Paul has already dealt with those who want to get rich in verse 9. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil in verse 10. There are, of course, good Christian rich people who use their wealth to further God's kingdom. But there are also rich people who feel they don't need God. Therefore, Timothy is to command the rich not to be arrogant. Riches can breed arrogance. Not to put their hope in wealth. Why not? It is so uncertain. In 2008, banks collapsed. People with savings in Northern Rock had no idea that the bank would collapse. Alistair Darling, the then Chancellor of the Exchequer, said, "We were within hours of the cash points running dry." The banks had to be nationalised. We had to go into enormous debt as a country. Wealth is so uncertain. Therefore, Timothy is to command, not suggest, to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God is the only source of security. He is not uncertain. He richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Do you see that? Early in the letter, Paul deals with ascetics who forbid marriage and order abstinence from certain foods. God does not want us to be ascetic. Rather, he wants us to enjoy all the good things in this life, to enjoy them in their proper place. Everything is given for our enjoyment. Command, there's that word again, verse 18, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds. If Paul has the rich in mind, they may be living a life of leisure because they don't need to work. By contrast, the Christian way is to do good. We should be known as those who do good, who are rich in good deeds rather than rich in money, necessarily. We must be generous and willing to share. And I see wonderful examples of this in this church. Thank you very much indeed. And this generosity means, verse 19, in this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. So, salvation is a free gift, but our reward is affected by how we live now. My vicar in Oxford used to call this the warmth of the handshake. Salvation is a free gift, but by living sacrificially for Christ, we can lay up treasure for ourselves in the new creation, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. As you let go of the things of this world, your grip on that which is truly life gets tighter and tighter. And so Paul commands Timothy, verse 20, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Timothy has been entrusted with the gospel. He is not to change it. He is to guard it, protect it, and of course, pass it on. Turn away from godless chatter. Turn away from false teaching, the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge. Turn away from false knowledge, verse 21, which some have professed, and in so doing have departed from the faith. This is why Timothy is to be so authoritative. This is why he is to command, based on the authority of God's word, because people's eternal souls are at stake. If people don't listen to good teaching, they depart from the faith. So how are we doing with all this? The man of God flees sin. The man of God pursues righteousness. The man of God fights the good fight. The man of God commands faith in God. Are we all striving to be a man or woman of God? Are we fleeing sin? Or do we play with it? Do we nurture sin in our lives? This is very dangerous. Are we pursuing righteousness, running flat out after God and his ways? There was a retired minister in Letchworth called Alex Buchanan. He used to say he wanted to arrive at the finishing line breathless. In other words, he wanted to run flat out, pursuing righteousness. Are we fighting the good fight? Or are we making an accommodation with the enemy? Are you willing to be commanded from God's word, to have faith in God? Is Jesus your captain? Are we living to love and obey him? If we've failed in these areas, well, shall we come back to the cross? Thank God for Jesus. Thank him that he died on the cross to pay for all our sin and failure. Shall we come back to the cross, repenting of our sin, trusting afresh in Christ. We have a wonderful opportunity to do that now as we come to the Lord's table. The Lord's table speaks to us of all that Jesus has done for us. His body nailed to the cross. His blood poured out for us. If you've never come to Christ and made him your captain, made him your saviour, why don't you do that now? Why don't you give your life to Christ? Make Jesus captain, make him king, make him Lord. Put your trust in him for the first time, and then you can come to the Lord's table and be assured that Jesus has died for you and that you are forgiven, you are clean, you are right with God. If you've been a Christian for many years, come to the Lord's table again and be assured of what Jesus has done for you.